Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me today for the Unveil Christ to the World broadcast. We're heard on this station every day, Monday through Friday, at the same time. And as we look at the world around us, the times in which we are living, if there's anything that would characterize today's world, is that of unrest. There is no peace to the wicked, the Bible says. And the Bible also tells us that there are principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. There are demonic forces that are vying for the control, for the possession of the hearts of mankind. And only through the Lord Jesus Christ can we experience the freedom, the joy, and the rest that comes from faith in God. I'd like to speak for a little while about the quietness of faith. In spite of all the turmoil around us, wars, rumors of wars, all the things that Jesus said would characterize the time of the end, that men's heart would fail them from fear. But as Christians, as children of God, we know the truth. And though indeed we may go through battles and very difficult and trying times, yet God is our peace. And for those who don't know Christ, it is impossible for them to abide in any certain state of peace or happiness, because this world is so changing, and there's nothing that is certain or continuous except the fact that there's continual change and unrest. But for the Christian, the Lord has drawn us into a place in Him that is unchanging. Remember, Jesus said before He left, He said, "My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And so for a Christian, we can live in a state of peace and rest in our spirit, and yet ever growing in the knowledge of truth. No Christian has to be regulated by the prince of this world, the devil. He's come to rob, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Paul says in Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 2, "Where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world." Can you say amen when you didn't know the Lord? "According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." So, beloved, we have a right as well as a privilege to live in the assets and blessings that are given to us through Jesus Christ as our inheritance. So many forfeit their privileges to reign, to rule and reign, first of all, over our own spirits. And we give the devil access, we give him the right to allow his suggestions into our thought life, into our emotions, our feelings, in the place of God's peace. And he never gives up. He doesn't rest. We are flesh and blood. We need to rest. And so there's a constant vigilance that we must take as Christians. Not that it's a continual place of constant warfare, that we are constantly being battled, but that even though that we may go through the trials, inwardly. What I'm talking about is an inward peace that God's faith gives to us. And we cannot generate this kind of faith, beloved. Faith is a gift of God. And so even the ability to come to Jesus, to be able to accept him, he's given to every man a measure of faith. And so as Christians, we must utilize all that God has given us in his mercy, in his word, and in his power. Now, there are times in the life of every Christian where it seems that God may seem to withdraw for a period of time. And why should this happen? Well, he's wanting us to draw ever closer to him through the substance of his faith, beloved. He's given to us his faith. It's his gift to us. And so the lack of feeling of God's presence or his withdrawal, seeming withdrawal, gives us an option. We have a choice. We have to either walk by faith or we can turn to sight, turn to our emotions, turn to circumstances and our feelings. And there could be no purpose for God not to honor every one of his promises immediately, except for the fact he wants us to know that going through trials produces in us greater faith and a greater intensity of life in the Spirit as we grow in our ability to rest in him by faith. You know, I'm thinking now of, and you've probably seen pictures of trees that are sort of, they seem to be anchored in rock, and the winds, the fierce winds at high altitudes blow against them, but they only become stronger in their root system because of the storms, because of the winds that blow against them. And so we're the same way. God's principles are true in the spirit as well as in the natural. So as we look at God's word, we know that God wants us to have a faith in him and an ability to rest in him by faith. When we look at examples in the Bible, the book of Job is a marvelous example. He was a man that was honored. He had wealth. And he lost everything that he possessed. God gave permission to the devil to take away his 7 sons, his 3 daughters, 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, his 500 yoke of oxen, 500 donkeys, and then even his own wife turned on him and said, "Why don't you just curse God, Job, and die?" Well, what a thing to say from someone who should be your closest supporter and friend. That was Job 2 and 9. But Job was faithful in the integrity of truth. But as his 3 comforters began to work on him, and in their minds, they felt that he had to have done something. Although God said he was perfect in all of his ways, there was none like him in all the earth. He said to Satan, "Hast thou considered Job?" And the wonderful, I've always loved the book of Job because God's integrity was preserved, and that lie that Satan had thrown in God's face, he only loves you, Sergio, because of all your blessings. Take that away and he'll curse you. Well, that never happened. Job said, "Yea, though God slay me, yet will I trust him." And I know some of you listening have been in that place where you felt as Job, regardless of what happens, regardless of whatever loss, whatever pain or trial or suffering you're going through, yet will you trust him? But as his comforters continued to work on them, he left the place of divine quietness, if you will. And he was affected by the confession and the expression of his friends, their accusations against him. And as a result, even though you could tell his spirit was troubled, he left the quietness of faith for sight in the situation. He even He even was cursing the day of his birth because he could not understand why he was going through this. He had no idea. It was nothing that he had done, but it was a divine, what, experiment, if you will, before the courts of heaven. And yet we see at the end of the book, Job in chapter 44, when his faith was restored to him, when he understood the power, the reality of God, his own possessions were restored to him and even doubled. And here's a lesson for all of us. God's will was for Job to prosper. And the only reason Job was not allowed to prosper just for a season was to help him to prosper spiritually in his faith relationship to God. Indeed, it was a sore trial, the trial of his faith, which 1 Peter 1:7 says is more precious than gold. And the whole purpose of it was to produce a greater faith in him through his trust in the promises of God and the character of God. 3 John 2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things," that Greek word peri means concerning, with regard to, all things, everything that pertains to life and godliness. John is saying God wants us to prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. And 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Well, I see my time has just flown, and we'll continue tomorrow at the same time. And if for any reason you're not able to listen, feel free to go to our website, and you can click on the broadcast. It's www.unveilchrist.org. And as you click on the broadcast, they're archived there for your listening convenience. Also, as always, I give you an invitation to write and share your prayer needs. There's power in agreeing prayer, and I alone receive and answer the mail. And we have files of testimonies of how God has moved to bless his people through the answer that God has permitted me to share with them. The announcer will give our contact information. I love you and pray for you every day. Thank you for joining me. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.